fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. FIFA President Gianni Infantino has described the ninth edition of the Women's World Cup football tournament as the best and greatest and biggest. Infantino spoke Friday in Sydney, Australia, ahead of Sunday's Women's World Cup final between England and Spain. He said the tournament, co-hosted by Australia and New Zealand, had also generated more than $570 million in revenue, enabling world football's governing body to break even.
We've said it, football unites the world, but we need to do more. We have as well, we have to speak a little bit as well about the money. We have increased, of course, the contributions and prize money to $152 million, also there. Some were hesitating. We have specific recommendations for a part going to women players themselves. Well, this is simply 10 times more than the global prize money in 2015. So in two editions, we multiplied by 10 what we do. And when it comes to the level of service for the teams, the women's national teams and the men's national team had exactly the same level of service in terms of training camps, hotels, travel. So full equality has been reached there. And again, there as well, some voices were raised, well, it costs too much, we don't make enough revenues, we'll have to subsidize. And our opinion was, well, if we have to subsidize, we'll subsidize, because we have to do that. But actually, this World Cup generated over $570 million in revenues. And so we broke even. We didn't lose any money. And we generated the second highest income of any sport besides, of course, the men World Cup at global stage. More than $500 million. There are not many competitions, even in men's football, who generate more than $500 million.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino also had a special message for women.
And I say to all the women, and you know I have four daughters, so I have a few at home. I say to all the women that you have the power to change. Pick the right battles. Pick the right fights. You have the power to change. You have the power to convince us men what we have to do and what we don't have to do. You do it. Just do it. With me, with FIFA, you will find open doors. Just push the doors. They are open. And do it also at national level, in every country, at continental level, in every confederation. Just keep pushing, keep the momentum, keep dreaming, and let's really go for a full equality, not just equal pay in the World Cup, which is the slogan that comes up every now and then. Equal pay in the World Cup, we are going in that direction already. But that would not solve anything. It might be a symbol, but it will not solve anything, because it's 1 month every 4 years, and it's a few players out of the thousands and thousands of players. We need to keep the momentum. We need to push it. We need to go for equality, but we have to do it for real. And you, here in this room, all the women in this room, you have the power to do it. So believe in it. Thank you very much.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino speaking Friday in Sydney, Australia, ahead of Sunday's FIFA Women's World Cup final between England and Spain. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now let's go to Rwanda's capital, Kigali, where the Giants of Africa Foundation is marking its 20th anniversary with a youth basketball festival. For more details, Iron Mike Mbonye called Kigali, where he reached Foundation co-founder Godwin Owinji.
With regards to the festival, basically what we're doing is we've been to 17 countries in the continent doing work, either building courts or running basketball camps or doing outreach programs or just being in the communities of these places that we've been to. And our 20th anniversary, we decided to bring in 8 boys and 8 girls from 16 countries, fly them to Rwanda and do a festival or Olympic style, you know, competition among the kids while we're here. It's basically about, you know, education, culture, you know, tradition, music, you know, just having fun, you know, with the kids while they're, you know, competing among themselves as well. Of course, you know, we invited a bunch of artists, well-known artists, you know, to come, you know, celebrate our 20th anniversary with us. So basically, that's basically what, you know, we're doing. And it's been wonderful so far to see these kids from different countries gelling among themselves and just having a good time playing basketball together. Actually, the first 2 days of the camp, of the festival, we camps with 250 kids from 16 countries. Each country, you know, has a female coach, a male coach, and a counselor. So there's 8 girls from each country plus 3 counselors. So that's who are here. So all in total with the participants alone are 250, and then 3 counselors from each country. You add that up, so you know what the number is.
Looking back over the years, what are some achievements of the foundation in talent hunting, grooming, and provision of infrastructure?
We basically don't hunt for talent. We just provide opportunities for potential, you know, aspiring, you know, young basketball players, both overseas and where they're from. You know, we try to create opportunities for young basketball players in the country where they're from by trying to, you know, get them scholarships to their local universities, and then, you know, along the line, if we find some very talented young prospect that we think can compete in high schools in the U.S., we help facilitate that. So we basically don't hunt for talent. We just try to provide a level field for most of the youths that are engaged in the sport. And with regards to some of the achievements that we've done over these 20 years, is we've been doing a lot of grassroots development of the game. We've been doing a bunch of community outreach services. We're going to foundation, orphanage homes, going to different places in the community where we can touch the lives of young people. So we've been doing that for over 20 years. And during the pandemic, we decided we're going to add to it. That's something we've been thinking about doing over the years, building infrastructures, you know, like basketball courts. And we made a commitment to build over about 100 courts, you know, over the next several years. And I believe we're up to 35 and counting, spread around the continent. And with regards to providing opportunities for young kids, you know, to go to school in the States, Since we started, I would say we've, you know, been able to do that. Over 300 kids, been able to help them, you know, acquire scholarships to go to the United States for schooling.
That's Godwin Owinji, co-founder of the Giants of Africa Foundation. And Godwin spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Kigali, Rwanda.
Sporty greetings. This is Godwin Owinji, co-founder of Giants of Africa, international scout with the Brooklyn Nets. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Godwin, and thanks also to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview. Kigali is also where the Egyptian club Al Ahly won its first Men's Basketball Africa League title on May 27th. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, let's listen to my post-game report. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Al Ahly Sporting Club, which has added another prize to its big trophy case in Cairo. The proud Egyptian club, founded 116 years ago, has won titles in multiple sports. In football, the Red Devils have won a record 10 African Champions League titles, and they were named African Club of the 20th Century by the Confederation of African Football, CAF. Over the weekend in Kigali, Rwanda, Al Ahly lifted its first Basketball Africa League trophy after beating AS Douan of Senegal in the final, 80-65. South Sudanese forward Nuni Omot of Al Ahly scored a game-high 22 points and was presented with the Akeem Olajuwon Trophy for being the 2023 BAL Most Valuable Player. The VOA's big man from Bamako, Sheck Tiero, caught up with Nuni shortly after the game ended, and Sheck asked Nuni how it felt to be the MVP.
It feels amazing, honestly. I couldn't have done it without my teammates. They gave me a lot of confidence. Coach, you know, he gave me a lot of confidence. He let me play. He let me beat me, play my game. Without that, you know, obviously nothing would have happened if that mattered. So,
and what is your message on the World Cup? Are you gonna keep continuing to rap practice and get ready for the next World Cup, or what are you Nuni is doing from here now?
I mean, I'm gonna go home, get some rest, and then obviously start training again. Obviously, the World Cup is gonna be real important. It's gonna be really big for us. It's gonna be a really big opportunity for a lot of the guys, you know, to be showcased in front of a lot of, you know, scouts, people, and, you know, obviously we're playing good teams as well. So, I mean, I feel like if we perform there, they can't count us out anymore. You know, I feel like they're still counting us out. But, I mean, everybody from South Sudan is hungry. You know, that's the difference between a lot of us, is that we're hungry. We have a lot of talent. You know, not only just on the national team, we got younger guys. Kaman as well, you know, coming up, 16 years old. He's going to be a problem. He's going to be, you know, another South Sudanese player in the NBA, I believe so. So, you know, I feel like the future is bright for us.
That's Nuni Omot, the 2023 Basketball Africa League Most Valuable Player. And Nuni was talking with the VOA's big man from Bamako, Sheck Tiero, in Kigali, Rwanda. At the post-game news conference, Nuni said he believes his performance in Kigali will inspire South Sudanese children.
With how much talent is in South Sudan, you know, a lot of guys don't get the opportunity or the credit that they should get. And I feel like, you know, with me being able to come back and, you know, play, win a championship in the MVP, is going to open up a lot of doors for the younger kids and the younger generation to come. And I think that's what's most important, honestly, to have kids get opportunities. You know, you got young guys like Kaman, who was on Senegal's team. You know, he's only 16 years old. He's at the academy. He has a very bright future. And I think, you know, he's going to be a pro as well. And just for me to be able to do this means a lot. You know, it means a lot for the country just because of everything that's gone in the previous years and everything, you know, how people portray and look at our country. For me, it's just, it means the world, you know, because I just feel like, you know, opportunities are going to open up, and that's what's most important. Obviously, not everyone is granted equal opportunity as far as, you know, sports, life, you know, that's just the way it is. But, you know, I feel like with me opening up this door, it's going to present a lot of opportunities for younger kids.
For more reaction to Nuni Omot and Al Ahly winning the 2023 Basketball Africa League trophy, Iron Mike Mbonye called Kigali, where he reached the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3, Colonel Sam Amadou. Retired.
It was a very exciting game. First, the crowd turnout was great. The whole of Kigali turned out for the game with so many international crowd and flavor. Both teams went head to head, but at the end, the Egyptian team pulled off the victory because they were better organized, better coached, and very familiar with this type of situation. However, the gap was not much. The difference in ability was not much. But at the end, the better team won. So Egypt, congratulations to them. This is the second time they are winning it. Zamalek, also of Egypt, won season one. And season three is also won by another Egyptian team. This really shows the organization and the level of Egyptian basketball.
Stade Malien of Mali defeated favorites Petro de Luanda of Angola to win the third place game. Did the outcome of this encounter come to you as a surprise?
With the way ball is going, man, the tournament is getting tougher and tougher and more competitive. So congratulations to Stade Malien, and we hope that their resilience will continue to push them to go for the title the next time.
What's your assessment of BAL Season 3 playoffs? Do you think Season 4 will be tougher?
My assessment of BAL Season 3 is very positive assessment. First, in terms of organization, everything went promptly. Games were started on time, concluded on time. Entertainment was great. The event management was nice. The musical artists, the fan engagement was fantastic, reminiscent of the NBA. The dance camera, the engagement with the fans was perfect. And one other aspect that went very well was the merchandising. There were lots of merchandise, caps, T-shirts, other souvenirs. Till the last day, even after the final game, fans were still queuing up to buy the souvenirs, which tells you that BAL has really come of age. The followership is increasing every day. The whole of Kigali was out. The president of the Egi Nation came for the opening game and also came for the final match with lots of his ministers. A lot of NBA chief executives like Masai Ujiri of the Toronto Raptors was there.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Overall, it was a great experience, followed by one of the best after parties that I have seen. Season 4 is going to be tougher, and that I can assure you. Season 4 is going to be tougher because everybody has seen what it takes. And I see that those national federations that have well-organized leagues will continue to carry the day. If you are a national federation who believes that your team should do well, you have to organize your league properly. That will make the teams play more games, more technical games with regular technical assessment. The North Africans have won it for the 3 years now in a row because they have a very strong league. Their players are at home. And so others have to learn from the North African teams. Overall, congratulations to the NBA, congratulations to BAL, and congratulations to FIBA Africa, who are also partners, particularly from the technical aspect.
That's Colonel Sam Amadou, retired, the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3. And Colonel Sam spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Kigali, Rwanda.
This is Colonel Sam Amadou, retired, president FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you very much, Colonel Sam, and I hope you, Iron Mike Mbonye, and all our Sunny Side of Sports listeners are having a good day and will have a good weekend ahead. Samson Omale joins us once again with another spicy sports package. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sunny. We begin the wrap of Africa's sport with basketball as Senegal closed the first phase of their FIBA Olympic pre-qualifying tournament campaign with a 74-71 win over Mali to advance to the semifinals as Group A winners. The Mamadou Gueye coach team will now take on whoever finishes second in Group B, which will be determined between Tunisia and Guinea on Friday. Mali, meanwhile, will go up against Group B winners Cameroon in the last four. In athletics, Toby Amusson, the world champion and world record holder in the 100 meters hurdles, was cleared to race at the World Championships after a case of missing drug tests. A disciplinary tribunal found that the Nigerian did not commit any anti-doping rule violation. Her provisional suspension was lifted with immediate effect, according to the Athletics Integrity Unit, which handles doping cases in track and field. The Nigerian champion had been provisionally suspended last month while anti-doping authorities investigated a charge that she missed three drug tests in a 12-month span, which can trigger up to a two-year suspension even if an athlete never fails a drug test. Bolu Omoni is a Nigerian sports journalist. He weighs in on the lifting of the ban placed on Amusson.
Her defense was the third test. She got tested a few days before then. And that's one reason why she missed out. That was the first thing she put out. So you maybe that's one of the things that gave her a go from the tribunal about this. She got tested days ago. Why are you pushing this one to her? It's hard. I've heard many people play the racial card. It's hard not to agree with this, because I remember listening to Serena Williams talking a few years ago that how come she's the one that gets tested, that she gets tested more than twice of what they do to others. And if she mistakenly missed one, everybody comes to her. And again, one of the things I feel still work for Toby is she was clean.
In Namibia, the Namibian School Sports Union has chosen four athletes from Namibia to participate in the upcoming World Championships in Brazil. The World School Sport Games is an international multi-sport event organized by the International School Sports Federation. It is the largest of many other sports events held by the ISF. The 2023 under 15 ISF World School Summer Games will see athletes compete in over 25 sports codes, which will take place from the 19th to the 27th of August 2023. Lizelle Muyanza, who will compete in the 100 meters and 200 meters event, Alexandra Shishapeppers in the high jump, and Loic Vlogen, who will also take part in a shot put, all claim their preparations have gone so well and are looking forward to the games.
I'm looking forward to at least coming in the top five, but even if I don't make it, I'll still be excited because I made it that far. Difficulties is only the wind in Lutrecht that has been the difficult part, but everything else has been all right.
I'm very excited and looking forward, and I think I might do good.
Expectations aren't high, therefore if I do bad, I do not upset myself, but I expect more. And I expect, even if I do bad, I just need to break my PBs, which is in shot put 15.74, and the discus throw would be 45.74.
In football news, Africa's premier club competition, the CAF Champions League, officially gets underway this weekend with the first preliminary round of fixtures taking place across the continent. The first preliminary round marks the start to the most sought-after African club football prize, with the second round being the last hurdle before the remaining 16 clubs are drawn into the group stages. On Friday, Algeria's CS Constantine will play host to Etoile Sportive du Sahel of Tunisia, while KMKM SC will welcome St. George SC of Ethiopia. Ethiopia in the two Friday afternoon fixtures. On Saturday, champions of the 1995 edition and 2013 silver medalist Orlando Pirates will head to Comoros to face Jabal FC in one of the headline fixtures of the weekend, along with another exciting clash between Namibia's African Stars, who will be taking on Power Dynamos of Zambia on Saturday. African Stars coach is Prince George Kofi.
The boys are poised for action. We've taken them through a lot of technical and tactical orientation, you know, all in preparation towards the Champions League proper, as the, specifically our game against Power Dynamos of Zambia. And I'll say the boys are very ready. You know, tactically.
Staying with football news, the FIFA Football Youth Development Program is underway in Ghana. The project, launched in 2019, has a budget of $100 million from FIFA. The program aims to get footballs to 700 million elementary school children, almost half of the world's children aged between 4 and 14 years. Director of the FIFA Football for Schools project, Fatima Sidibe, outlined the factors that convinced the world governing body to accept Ghana as the 79th country in the world and the 30th in Africa to sign up for the project.
Ghana was one of the federation in WAFU B to be part of the program. So we said yes to them because we feel that they are really committed. They have passion of football, and also they are working hand in hand with the Minister of Education. They signed an agreement with the Minister of Education to launch this program. They selected 3,000 schools to implement the program.
And now to tennis, where world number 5 Ons Jabeur of Tunisia advanced to her first hard court quarterfinals since January after Donna Vukic retired due to a viral illness in the round of 16 at the Western and Southern Open. Jabeur was leading 5-2 in the first set when the match was suspended due to rain. During the stoppage, Vukic retired from the match and also withdrew from the doubles. Jabeur will now face number 2 Aryna Sabalenka or number 14 seed Daria Kasatkina in the quarterfinals. The Tunisian is playing her first tournament since making the Wimbledon finals last month. In rugby, England rugby international Mario Itojem, born to Nigerian parents, is working in partnership with World Vision UK in using his Pearl Foundation Fund to transform the lives of children in Nigeria and across Africa through the generation of a multi-million pound investment in education. Ahead of the Rugby World Cup, Itojem is in Nigeria, where he's coordinating the fund's first initiative to sponsor a group of 40 children from one of Lagos' most deprived areas to start school every year.
Education is incredibly important. There's a whole number of children in this area in Nigeria who don't have the access to quality education. And, you know, I think that's wrong. And I think that the Pearl Fund will be able to hopefully improve the life trajectory of a lot of Nigerians and hopefully a lot of Nigerians in this community.
In motorsport, the Africa Rally Championship competition returns to Burundi this weekend after close to a three-decade absence. Club Automobile du Burundi, the motorsport governing body, last hosted an ARC event in 1995. The following year, due to the insecurities in Burundi at the time, the association jointly organized the event with the Automobile Association of Uganda, and the event was hosted in Uganda. Over 20 crews will be taking part this weekend. And out of volleyball news, Tunisia's under-21 women's volleyball team got off to a bad start at the World Under-21 Championship in Mexico by losing 3-0 to Italy on the first day of Group B matches. Tunisia will play Brazil on Friday before closing the first round with a match against the Dominican Republic on Saturday. And back on the continent, Nigeria lost to host Cameroon by 3-0 in their second match at the ongoing 2023 Africa Senior Women's Nations Volleyball Championships in Yaoundé, Cameroon on Thursday. Uganda's Lady Cranes, on their part, having started the tournament with a straightforward victory over Lesotho on Wednesday, Uganda Lady Cranes overcame Morocco on Thursday night to make it 2 wins from as many games. Also on Thursday, Kenya Maika strikers barely broke a sweat as they swept aside Burkina Faso in straight set in their second Pool B match. Giving a chance to everyone on the team, Edith Wissa, middle blocker for Kenya, says it has helped the team to gel well.
Giving a chance to everyone in the team is a good thing for us as a team, for the coaches. They can know where to put somebody at what time.
That's Kenyan volleyball player Edith Wissa.
And Edith was speaking at the African Women's Volleyball Championship in Yaoundé, Cameroon. And thanks to Samson Omale for that big package of African sports news. And that wraps up the August 18th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.